sun's going down. Like a big bald head. Disappearing behind the boulevard. It's sharp as night. It's sharp as night. Tonight.
Nova Convention in 78. This was a three-day celebration of his work, and a lot of people were there. Patti Smith was playing the clarinet, John Cage was dancing, Frank Zappa was reading the talking asshole part of Naked Lunch, Phil Glass was playing, Susan Sontag was talking. Lots and lots of people who love and admire Burroughs' work were there. One of the guests was supposed to be Keith Richards, who the promoters knew a week ahead of time was not going to show. So the night of this big event, there was notice, but the doors were flung wide open, and on the back side of this door, in pencil, on a piece of notebook paper, said, Keith Richards will not be appearing tonight. So meanwhile, all these kids are storming, and Keith! Phil Glass is playing the organ, and they're going, get the organ player off, we want Keith. You know, Patti Smith even can't calm him down playing the clarinet. Frank Zappa, not enough. Then this guy walks on stage, pork pie hat, briefcase, sits down at a desk and goes, good evening. And he starts talking about drugs, sex, alienation in a way that's completely riveting. He's talking about things that these kids thought they invented, and they're hearing this old codger talking about them in ways that just are so fresh and crazy. And that night, a lot of people learned about this writer and this sensibility that's been around, really. He started talking in the 50s when people were talking about PTAs and how nice their lawns looked. And here was this guy going, listen to this. You know, this guy is so powerful. I also wanted him to be in the movie because he's old. And I admire someone who's had the stamina to have a long creative life like that and still be producing, still be making wonderful things.
You know, I can see two tiny pictures. And there's one in each of your eyes. And they're doing everything I do. Every time I light a cigarette, they light up theirs. I take a drink, and I look in, and they're drinking too. It's driving me crazy. It's driving me nuts.
There's a plateau in the middle of the film, which you reach, and after a lot of hopping around at the beginning. And this plateau begins with something called Bug Story and continues in a very smooth way through Kokoku. It's a series of images that end in a kind of rotation, in a kind of turmoil. The film itself was shot to reflect those different kinds of spaces so that camera operators were, you know, I talked to them about shooting a section like Kokoku And I said, listen, Slide, you're a Bunraku player, you know, and your camera is your puppet. Just like in Bunraku, when the puppeteer is under a piece of black material working the toenails and fingernails of his little creature. Or, you know, it's some World War II situation, too, of a GI with a creeping along behind his bush. You know, it's not fooling anybody, but it is a way of moving that's sneaky. In terms of the operator's style in Kokoku, it was a sneaky glide. It was stay parallel to the plane, and that is the projected image, which is a very, very flat surface. So you feel a very highly stylized camera motion in that song. And then the motion out of that is into a kind of an eddy that is radar, which is something I found in New Jersey, shot this thing out near the airport. It's one of the few radars that's still exposed. Most of them are put away and secreted. But this thing just turns around and around and around looking, turning around. So you begin to, this is the point in the movie where you begin to lose your orientation to this flat plane and you're caught in this rotation. The next song, which is Gravity's Angel, continues that theme so that the camera moves in that song were all about disorientation. Any concert film is shot in a very small area. It's like a backyard. It's no bigger than, you know, a big backyard. So to pull as much action out of that space as possible is really the trick. So in Gravity's Angel, the instructions were constantly panned to black. Constantly move away from your subject, fall away, go to a void. And so you begin in that song to feel that of always getting lost in this darkness and being disoriented. So coming out of this dizziness is just a story, and it's through language that you are pulled back into a movie that is again on a concert stage. This film is very much about storytelling.
Let's see. It was on an island. And there was this snake. And this snake had legs. And he could walk all around the island. Yes, that's true. A snake with legs. And the man and the woman were on the island too. And they were not very smart. But they were happy as then one evening, the snake was walking about in the garden, and he was talking to himself, and he saw the woman, and they started to talk, and they became friends, very good friends, and the woman liked the snake very much, because when he talked, he made little noises with his tongue, and his long tongue was lightly licking about his lips, like there was a little fire inside his mouth, and the flame would come dancing out of his mouth. And the woman liked this very much. And after that, she was bored with the man, because no matter what happened, he was always as happy as a What did the snake say? Yes. What was he saying?
In United States, the performance series that I finished in 1983, I will tell you. I was very concerned that I disappear into the shadows. I dressed pretty much like a kind of funeral director in a way, all black, you know, so that I could slip around and comment on things. My job, I always felt, was a kind of narrator, and not someone who would hop out into a follow spot and go, hey, you know. Previous to that, in other performances, I had decided I was going to be a kind of bulge in the screen, so I would always wear white and stand in front of the film and blend in. In Home of the Brave, I got an awful lot of complaints from lighting designers about disappearing into the shadows. So I said, okay, well, wear something a little peppier. One of the things that people have remarked on who've seen this film is they go, now, what about that dress? Now, this is a chain metal dress that weighed about 70 pounds that I wore in Longdemore. I could hardly hoist myself up onto this platform to walk back and forth and tell the story. So I had to wear sneakers, too, just to... I mean, if I had worn heels, which you really should wear with a dress like that, I would have been pile driving the spikes into the beam and just completely destroying this thing. The song Longdemour is, of course, about a woman and a snake, so I tried to be both narrators in that song. The gloves were this supposedly the head and tail of this long snake who keeps slithering around. Unfortunately, the thing that you saw more than that was the dress that was in between the two snake halves, which kind of hard to miss it. It was like... I felt that since this was a story, of course, about the Garden of Eden, that... I mean, this is a woman's story if there ever was one. I mean, this, she initiated this action. Adam really just kind of stood around, really. And so I figured since she was the main person in that story, she should tell it. So that's why I departed from my usual, as they say, androgynous look, to wear something more appropriate to that story.
Just to love you.